plate a potential nugget.
The other piece that got my attention, Ethan, was you talk about journaling. You say that even simply asking people to write about their most negative experiences for 15, 20 minutes leads them to feel better, visit the doctor less, and have a healthier immune function. Can you talk about the link between journaling, psychological distance, and well-being?
Yeah. So when we're talking about journaling in technical terms, we're talking about expressive writing, which involves describing in writing your deepest thoughts and feelings surrounding a negative experience. And what we've learned over time is that creating a narrative around one's experience can often be really useful, because what it does is it helps people put a structure on their experiences. They're telling a story, and stories usually have beginnings, middles, and importantly, ends. And so telling those stories can provide us with a sense of closure and meaning that ultimately allow us to move on with our lives. There is some research, this is some work that we've done in our lab, that has looked at links between journaling and distancing. One of the interesting things about writing about your own life is that you become the character in a story. So an author is actually writing about a character, but the character is you. So there does seem to be a distancing function that expressive writing has. You know, you're almost stepping back and writing about your own life, and there is a distancing feature associated with that. But there's lots of research which shows that expressive writing can be very helpful. It's another tool in the chatter toolbox.
And when you say expressive writing, just for me to understand the nuance here, it's about expressing emotions around events and situations.
It's about writing about your deepest thoughts and feelings about an experience. So that's the instruction that is given to participants in many expressive writing studies. And what eventually happens when you do that for 15 to 20 minutes for anywhere from 1 to 3 consecutive days is that people start to tell stories about the event, right? So they're going deep, they're going into it, and they're creating these narratives, which have increasingly some sense of coherence, meaning, and structure. And those narratives can be helpful.
A related point about journaling came up in my conversation with Rajiv Vij, author of Inside Out Leadership. He speaks about how we need to be non-judgmental when it comes to journaling. He emphasizes the need for self-acceptance in these situations.
I mean, there are various techniques to reflect: meditation, journaling, positive affirmations, visualization, bunch of different ideas. But when we look at journaling, and it's quite true for meditation as well, but let's pick on journaling. The idea is that what we need to develop when we talk of developing self-awareness, we need to develop non-judgmental self-awareness. And why I say that? So for example, you recognize, you know, let's say you're journaling and you recognize routinely that you are, you know, lately you've been very irritated, or lately you've been feeling a bit down, or lately you've been a bit envious, whatever that feeling is, right? So that's a feeling that we want to become aware of, right? But the moment, what is our natural tendency though? You know, we all tend to judge ourselves because, and I'll come back to the point, we judge ourselves because there is a sense of incompleteness, inadequacy within us. And we are constantly trying to fill that void, and that's why we are judging, are we on track, are we not on track, and so forth. And it's that judgmental nature which forces us automatically to judge others as well, which we do all the time, including our, you know, loved ones, our kids, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that makes things worse. So when we are talking about journaling or meditation and non-judgmental awareness, the idea is, so let's say you recognize that envy and the sadness and the irritability. If we judge it and we say, oh, you know, why do I feel like that? What's wrong with me? I'm not a good person. How could I be envious? Or I talk about being a coach. How could I be feeling sad? I thought I was, you know, in the business of happiness, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think is going to happen to you? Do you think you're going to feel better or worse? Hmm. Clearly, you're going to feel worse. And so what you're doing is, you know, it's like your child, Deepak, who walks in and says, you know, hypothetically, oh, I'm in middle school, and, you know, these two kids in my class, they are such bullies and they're so rude and this, that, and the other, and, you know, kids don't like me and all that kind of stuff. Now, what are you going to do? You want to reassure your child, right? You want to sit them down and say, no, it's okay. It's totally fine. You know, kids are kids and they do different things, and but you are a wonderful person and you're so good in so many ways and so on and so forth. But when we are just thinking that, oh, I have been sad, we are not reassuring ourselves. We are actually making it worse. It's like telling the child that, oh yeah, how could you do that? How could people not like you? What's wrong with you? You know, I mean, that's just making it worse. So I think the starting point of all meditation and journaling and things like that is to create a non-judgmental space, because that is what is going to create greater self-acceptance, greater self-love. And all of that is actually automatically going to heal us from that void of the sense of inadequacy and incompleteness. Because we start to then accept ourselves for who we are.
If there's one habit that I've seen in common amidst several great leaders at the top, it's some sort of a journaling habit that helps them make sense of the world around them and curate the signal from the noise. Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more, you can go to playtopotential.com and visit the curated playlist section and look up the playlist on journaling.